Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome. This is Hashtag Gen Z, a podcast that explores Generation Z, who they are, how they're different from other generations, while also being an incredible blend of those who came before them. We explore what they think is cool, what moves them, and why they do what they do. I'm your host, Megan Grace, and it is so nice to have you here. In today's episode, we'll be exploring identity, authenticity, and self-connection at work. If you've been paying attention to Gen Z, you know they are all about diversity and inclusion, and they're also redefining identity and what it means to express yourself. A study by Vox Media and the Horowitz Research Group found a shift in mindset with Gen Z from being told who they are by society to wanting to be asked who they are when it comes to identity. This looks like two-thirds believing that society places a label on them related to their demographics, such as gender, sexual identity, or race and ethnicity. However, more than 80% desire more ownership over their identity, especially as it relates to personal characteristics like personality, hobbies, interests, passions, and even ability. The sense of ownership also applies to their social characteristics, like their culture, community, or interpersonal relationships, such as their role within their family. However, there still exists a gap in the fact that some of their personal identities are being driven by societal labels, whether they are fully accurate to them or not. Even then, Gen Z is pushing back and redefining some traditional perspectives on identity, especially related to gender identity and expression. This study shared by Vox Media is truly fascinating, and I really encourage you to check it out and read into more detail. I'll be sure to include it in the episode notes so that you can dive in with all of your own exploration. But in this episode, I'm joined by Rex Wild, a non-binary LGBTQ+ speaker, educator, and business consultant. In March 2019, Rex produced the Transcend Career Fair, the largest transgender career fair in the world. This event, featuring over 75 businesses and 500 transgender and gender diverse participants, received national media coverage from CBS, NBC, and Telemundo. Originally from Southern California, Rex graduated with honors in sociology from Chapman University in 2011 and quickly advanced to become a leader in the LGBTQ+ community. From running local and national campaigns for the Employment Non-Discrimination Act to creating prominent workforce development program for the transgender and gender expansive TGX+ community in Los Angeles as the inaugural director of programs at Trans Can Work, Rex's work centers the joy and economic empowerment of TGX+ communities. With over 12 years of experience in facilitation and organizational change, Rex's approach to intersectional inclusion of TGX+ folks has been renowned by organizations including Spectrum Charter, UPS, the Sundance Institute, and the California Workforce Development Board. Rex now works with organizations on strengthening organizational leadership through programs that center self-connection, authentic leadership, and intersectional inclusion. You can learn more about the work they're doing at www.rexwild.com. And I am so excited to welcome my friend Rex to this episode's discussion. So once again, we are joined by a great guest, and I'm just so excited because anytime I get to talk to a friend that I've known for a while that like our worlds collide and it turns into a podcast episode, I get just so excited. And one of those people is Rex. And Rex, I'm so excited to have you here to talk about a topic that, as you and I have stayed connected over the years, has really, I think, more and more prominence in the workplace. And while we're going to be talking about identity, I think really the heart of what you talk about applies to so many people in the workplace, including Gen Z. So welcome, Rex. Tell us a little about who you are and kind of the work that you do and how we can be excited to learn from you.
Thanks so much, Megan. It is so awesome to be here with you. And for those that don't know me, my name is Rex Wild. I use they and them pronouns. and I'm a TGX or trans and gender expansive inclusion consultant. So I work with organizations all over the US and internationally on helping to bolster their trans and gender expansive inclusion initiatives, especially within their greater DEIB or diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging frameworks. So I work with organizations anywhere from their corporate education initiatives all the way to helping with employee engagement, as well as policy and procedures around including the trans community.
And such important work, because you have such a beautiful journey that you share with people. But like the work that you do is creating just like a good space for everyone, regardless if you are identifying with the TGX community or LGBT community. Like, just belongingness at work, I think, is something that everyone can get down with. Like, we've all felt at some point in our life, like, oh, maybe I don't belong here, or I do, and that rocks, right? And so what I love that you're bringing to this conversation is really, one, it's sharing about what you do, but then the application that people can take away in creating better environments for people. So let's just start with the basics, right? So why should we be paying attention to identity and specifically gender in the workplace? I know that's a big part of the work that you do.
I think that what you said is so perfect just now, because when we're talking about identity and even when we're talking about gender specifically, it really is something that applies to everyone. But it's interesting because when we're looking generationally, one of the things that we're seeing is really significant shifts around not only how individuals are identifying with regard to gender, but also how we even are understanding gender and gender norms in and of themselves. When we think about the workplace right now, we know that next year in 2025, millennials and Gen Z are going to make up about 60% of the workforce, and that millennials are right now twice as likely to identify as LGBTQ than previous generations. And we see about 12% of millennials identifying as either trans or gender expansive. Now, when we look at Gen Z, we actually see that Gen Z is 20 times more likely than the boomer generation to identify as trans, non-binary, or gender expansive. And there have been a couple of recent studies that came out, one of them showing that up to 20% of Gen Z identify as LGBTQ+, and another showing that about 30% of Gen Z identify as LGBTQ+. So the way that we are thinking about gender and sexuality and the amount of individuals who are identifying as gender diverse specifically is drastically changing. And so for me, when I think about our workplaces now, they are vastly more gender diverse than they've ever been before. But when we think about our workplaces 5 years, 10 years, even 20 years from now, they are going to be gender diverse in ways that I don't think we can really imagine. And I think that is just incredibly exciting.
That's, I do think it's an exciting thing. And first of all, thank you for bringing all those stats to this conversation. Like, I was getting tingles that someone else cares about, like, quantifying things that we know exist, right? Like, we know this shift in identity and mindset of inclusion, of just like being who you are, has shifted so much with younger generations. It's not that it didn't exist before, it's just so prominent now, or much more prominent. So one, thank you for bringing the numbers to back up what we have probably already been witnessing, observing, experiencing. And I think that, you know, what you bring up is with this idea that identities and how we're expressing identities is different. It's not just like understanding identity, but that next level of, can I express and be myself at work? And I think that that comes around to at least my understanding. And really, I think you're the expert, so this is me just confirming what I think I know. But authenticity is a really big part of identity and that expression that you do have. What role do you think that authenticity is playing in our professional lives specifically? And how have you seen this in your work? And really, when we start thinking about Gen Z entering the workplace and being a larger portion of the workforce that you've pointed out?
Well, when we talk about authenticity, we're talking about being able to be ourselves, right? And a lot of folks will say being able to bring your whole self to work. And so what does that mean to be able to bring your whole self to work? And I think that when we're talking about, for example, from a queer perspective, and especially talking about anyone who falls into that greater community of LGBTQ+, so lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, queer, and then plus for the many other identities that exist within this wider umbrella, we're really talking about being able to show up in ways that historically folks who are LGBTQ haven't been able to. And so one example of that in the workplace could be someone, a colleague asks you, you know, how was your weekend? And you being able to say, I spent that time with my partner, right? And being able to identify who that partner is by name, by gender, et cetera, and being able to show up in that conversation authentically without having to hide the gender of your partner, right? And that's a experience that historically has existed in the workplace for folks across the LGBTQ spectrum. Now, that can also exist in a way specifically for trans individuals in just being able to share about who they are, right? And being able to share about, for example, what their pronouns are, how they identify, et cetera. One of the things that we're seeing change especially is our understanding of gender with regard to non-binary identities. And so I myself identify as non-binary, meaning that I don't identify as a man or as a woman. I identify in what I often call a third gender category, and I use the term non-binary for myself. And with regard to that, you know, I came out about 10 years ago as non-binary, but that was the first time I had ever even heard about the term non-binary before. And so many of us in our generation didn't grow up with knowledge of the trans community in general, but especially of folks who were non-binary or categorized in this other third gender category. And so when we're talking about authenticity in the workplace from a gender perspective, we have to be able to talk about as well some of the systems that we see set up in our workplaces. And historically, systems, whether it's in the workplace or otherwise, are really only set up to recognize folks who are either men or women. And so being able as well to ensure that we are creating structures that can help hold the reality of folks who exist that are non-binary as well.
And I think that, you know, thank you for sharing that, because I think that's so important that, yes, we've in 10 years, right? Like I think there's been so much advancement in knowledge and understanding and recognition. But also there's times when I'm like, society, we're still really just struggling with like, just letting people express their gender in general, if it doesn't fit a very narrowly defined version of what that looks like to what society says is right. And even that is like feeling like, if we get back to that concept of authenticity of like, for someone that does identify as a man or a woman or non-binary, feeling like you have to fit into a perfect box to fit in. And that perfect box for what that definition is, in my understanding really, is it kind of erodes the authenticity of how you feel about that identity. I knew, like, as a woman growing up, like, I played a lot of, I don't want to say dirty sports, but like played softball, and like I was in the dirt, and I was like still wearing a bow at the same time. Like, it felt counterintuitive to what I was told about like girly girl and like someone that's willing to play in the dirt and get like rough and tough about it. Right. And so like, I still think we have so much advancement of like allowing people to just express their gender for whatever it looks like to them. In society, let alone the workplace, because like we can barely handle like getting our jobs done and being nice to people, let alone letting them express individuality and identity effectively. Am I like hearing correctly? Like, there's just so much work I think that we can do in that understanding. But I think that comes to, if I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. That's totally okay. But like that next piece of self-connection, right? I think what you, as you and I've talked about, like self-connection is a big part of even understanding what that identity is and feeling confident to be able to walk into that and feeling connected to the identity to express it. Yes?
Exactly. And so when we're thinking about gender in and of itself on the whole, it's something that impacts all of us, whether you are trans, whether you are non-binary, or whether you are cisgender, which means you're not trans, right? Mm-hmm. It's interesting because I was in a workshop, and this was a couple of years ago, where I asked folks to reflect on the first time that they learned about gender. And mm-hmm. I had a cisgender straight man come up to me after this exercise and say, you know, I was thinking about it. And when I was a kid, I actually really loved being able to make flower arrangements because his mom had these beautiful gardens. And so he loved to pick flowers and put them into vases. And he also really loved baking, because who doesn't like a plate of brownies at the end of the day? And so, but once he got into, you know, middle school, high school age, whichever it was, all of his peers started questioning his sexuality and started questioning his gender and saying not so nice things to him, right? Mm-hmm. Because they saw him enjoying flowers, wanting to bake, and seeing that as not masculine. And thus, he actually ended up going on this journey of questioning his gender and sexuality because of how other people responded to him for these things that authentically brought him joy. So when we are thinking about how gender can impact authenticity for all of us, regardless of gender, we do think about the ways that we often expect people to fall in very specifically defined boxes, regardless of what their gender is. So we say, if you're a man, you have to be masculine, and this is what that looks like. If you're a woman, you must be feminine. This is what that looks like. And often that can sever us from ourselves.
Yeah.
So when we are talking about the idea of self-connection, we are talking about the repair of that severing. We are talking about being able to get back to and be in connection with what is truly authentic and what allows us joy on an individual level. Mm-hmm. So self-connection really at its core is the relationship that we have with ourselves, the relationship that we have to our thoughts, our experiences, and just how we engage with ourselves in a really general way.
I feel, one, thank you for sharing that story of that person, because I know that it probably took a lot of courage of that person to even share that with you in that setting. And then like that you can share it again, because I feel like that's such a good example. And I love that you framed like self-connection with joy, right? Of like, it shouldn't be attached to that. And it makes me deeply sad, because there's probably people all across different identities that feel like they can't express the joy that they have of being themselves. Like whether it is arranging the flowers and baking, like I want that kid at my house personally, that would save a lot of chore time for me. But like to take that away from a child, right? Like, but let alone a human where a human adult where we experience like a lot of tough stress, that man, I wish that individual had the ability to go back and like arrange some flowers and bake some brownies on a day that was hard, right? And I think it just like, what I'm trying to say is it makes me sad that society tells people like sever your self-connection and your joy from the things that you love, because that's not the way that it is here. But I personally think that there's many people in Gen Z, or at least that I'm observing, that are telling society to kind of like kick it, because there's still going to be a masculine man that arranges flowers, right? And that's totally fine. And it's probably a beautiful flower arrangement. So I don't know. That's just me being like, one, thank you for framing it that way. Like I feel slightly healed for things in my own life. And I know that I hope other listeners feel like they can look at that connection or that piece of self-connection and say, oh, there's things that society has told me that I shouldn't do because of the way that I identify. So I just really appreciate that perspective. Thank you.
And I think with Gen Z, it's really cool, because part of what we're seeing right now is Gen Z saying, wait, I don't want to participate in that way. I want to be myself at all costs, right? Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that in a way that other generations have not been able to access before. And part of that, I think, is because of the impact that many adults and folks of previous generations have been able to reflect on in their experience of saying, hey, wait, I wasn't able to arrange flowers when I was a kid, or I wasn't able to bake when I was a kid. And they are doing that correction, right? They are saying, no, I want to choose self-connection later in my years. And then as Gen Z are being parented by those folks that are experiencing that self-reflection and who are repairing those things within themselves, they're able to influence their children, right? And they're also able to influence society in general to say, hey, everything should be for everyone. We don't need to gender activities. We should, right, again, allow people to access that which brings them joy. And then we see Gen Z who is able to grasp onto that in a really different way than previous generations. I know one of the kind of like gender trends that I'm really enjoying right now is like how pearls are just such a masculine accessory right now. Like all boys and men are wearing pearls, and I just think it is the best thing ever, because you know, when we grew up, that just wasn't something that would ever be associated with men in any way. And so I just love kind of seeing how those trends are changing.
It's so funny. I actually have a friend that this is just a weird tangent. I have a friend that I recently took a trip with, and an amazing scuba diver, Marcus, if you're out there, this one's for you. And he lost his pearl earring or something in this scuba diving incident. I was going to see him a few days later, and he texted the group. He's like, I lost an earring back for my pearl earring. And I was like, I clutched my fictitious pearls at that moment, but I was like, don't worry, I got you. Like, I will bring you that earring back. I will bring you a fake pearl stud. Like I had to be there because Marcus needed it, right? And it's one of those things that like he's totally gonna be expressive of who he is, and I love that. And I really appreciate like just the amount of, I would say, like confidence that you're giving people to just go find the thing that brings you joy. And if that's wearing a pearl earring, like damn it, you better rock that earring. Boys, do it. Like it's awesome. I've been doing it forever. But I know that you are a treasure trove of things that people could probably be doing to feel more connected. And while we're kind of focusing on the workplace, you know, what kind of advice do you have for professionals, regardless of gender or generational cohort, to finding self-connection at work? and to their work. And I want to say, I don't want to say finding joy, because some people do not like their jobs, but we can still find that self-connection, right? In making a place in individually for ourselves.
Yeah. First, I think that self-connection is going to be really individually defined for everyone. So we're all going to have a different version of what self-connection looks like for us. So when we are thinking about what does self-connection look like in general, and then what does self-connection look like at work, we have to approach it from a really nuanced individual lens, since that will be as vast and diverse as all of us are as people. And so part of it, though, is being able to have the time and ability to get your to know yourself in a greater way, and to have the opportunity to be able to get into a more self-connected place. And so that could be anything from, you know, spending 5 minutes in the morning meditating or journaling. It could be, you know, reflecting on what are the things that you really enjoy about your work, what are the things that are really challenging about your work, and having extra cognizance around that. There are so many different ways that you can approach that. But one exercise that I give to folks is, when we're thinking about, you know, let's say from a leadership perspective, is to ask yourself 3 questions to use as a reflection exercise in order to have a start creating a better self relationship of self-connection. And so those 3 questions are, first, how am I relating to myself as a leader today? Why am I relating to myself this way? And then what does that tell me about a core need or belief? So for example, what that could look like is, how am I relating to myself as a leader today? Perhaps you are feeling really empowered and excited, and you are really positive and motivational towards yourself. Or perhaps you're actually really judgmental and frustrated and having a lot of negative thoughts towards yourself, right? Let's take the negative thoughts as the example for the rest of these questions, which is, okay, so you've identified, you know, I'm being really self-deprecating. Well, the next question is, well, why am I relating to myself this way? And that might be anywhere from, well, maybe it's a need, a form of self-protection that you're actually having. The reason that you are having those negative thoughts is you think that somehow that is going to be helpful to you, right? Perhaps it's because you think that you're going to be more self-productive that way, right? And that if you, you know, are going at yourself from a perspective of saying, hey, you just need to get this done, blah, 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 then maybe it's your way of trying to be more productive in that way. Now, once you've answered those, then you can ask yourself, what does that tell me about a core need or belief? And so if it is that, you know, you're being really mean to yourself that day, it actually, even counterintuitively, is kind of a form of self-protection. It might tell you that you just have a need for feeling safe and feeling in control, right? And that's this need. Now, once you have that need, that's a lot of information for you to be able to then identify what you want to do with that. Right? Is there a way that you can help yourself? Because let's say talking to yourself in a really negative way is actually super out of alignment with your values. And you're starting to notice that actually it reflects how you end up talking to the folks on your team, right? And that might not be something that you want to do. Then it gives you really that important purview on how you can shift and adjust so that you can actually practice behaviors or practice thoughts that are going to be more in alignment with what your values are, so that as you're interacting with others, you can have a more positive environment of product.
That is amazing. And I just can imagine that your clients, when you do this with them, they are like, how dare you walk in here and tell me literally everything about me, and you just knew me 2 seconds ago. But it's so true. Like what you described as something that, when we allow ourselves to go down this thought process, we deeply become disconnected to who we are, right? And there's so much, again, that pressure between the individual and then society, or what an organization or a different like environment puts on us, and how that can peel us away from who we are. So I really love the way that you, I'm a big fan of things that come in threes because they're usually easy to remember. And you gave us a really 1, 2, 3, something that someone can do in less than 5 minutes when they're going through either a positive or a negative mindset to reframe and find that connection at work. And so if you're listening and you're feeling a little disconnected, please use that 3-part framework. Rex is just like such gold. So there's a lot that individuals can do, right? Like as individuals, we can practice this 3-question framework that you provided us. But, you know, sometimes we can only operate so much on our own. Like we're parts of teams or organizations, unless you're out here doing like what I call rodeo, which is being a self-employed individual. But like, what can we do as organization and company leaders to help employees find, or team members find and practice self-connection at work. So I do think there's that interplay of like the larger environment and the individual that leaders have the ability to shape for their friends that are within the company.
So I think when we're talking about organizationally, first we want to talk about what we can do as individual leaders. And the reality is that we want to set the example for what everyone else on our team can be doing. And so if we are doing that work as a leader ourselves, it is automatically going to be reflected in the way that our team members are going to be able to interact with each other and also interact with us. So first, I think it's setting the example. But the second is really being able to encourage social and emotional learning opportunities for staff on a structural level. So our organizations, we should really be giving time, whether that is through, you know, specific staff development time or time off, et cetera, to be able to encourage specific social and emotional learning opportunities for folks to be able to have the opportunity for self-reflection and have the opportunity to self-connect in a greater way. And the third is really being able to encourage open and honest dialogue with a value for vulnerability. Obviously, being able to do these type of self-reflection tools, it's a lot of vulnerable work and it can be, pretty itchy for some folks. But being able to encourage open and honest dialogue and giving the value of vulnerability into your workplace can be something that also really helps to bolster that opportunity for others.
So what I'm hearing is do the work and be vulnerable and empathetic to others. Like that's just like two small things, right? Just two small ones.
Yeah, I would say so.
It's casual small things. I think everyone can align with having either worked for someone that was deeply empathetic and cared about them and was willing to show them like a good path towards what it means to be a part of an organization, right? Like whether it's a coach, a teacher, a boss, you name it. But then conversely, we've also had people that stand out in our minds that are terrible role models for what it's like to be vulnerable, empathetic, and supportive to other people. And I really do think like the concept of like being a good human to others is like such a free thing we can do, but it requires so much of ourselves to understand who we are. Like that interaction between the self and others is so difficult. Not difficult. It's just complicated, right? And so I think bosses, organization, company leaders, wherever you are, like there's so much that there is that pressure. Yes, there's always a pressure to perform, but like performance is always going to be underskirted by like the people that are a part of that, like people that are part of the team and making sure that that's a place that can be full of inclusion, but also that connection and to who people are and making sure that they feel like safe and welcome and like they belong there. Like it's just like simple stuff. I feel like you and I are like this basic human stuff. But I know that there's a lot of people that struggle with that and that's why they keep you employed. Right?
Well, and I think it's like a really normal thing that of course people are going to struggle with this mm-hmm. because the other reality is, you know, considering our busy lives, especially in our workplaces with a million tasks that people have on their plate, et cetera, no one is going to live in a 100% self-connected place all of the time. It's just Absolutely. Not possible, right? We're human. And so giving ourselves as well the opportunity for grace and understanding around that and letting go of that myth of perfectionism around all of this is a really important thing as well. If we are going to, you know, live with the goal in mind of allowing self-connection to be something that also helps with our connection of others, right? Because mm-hmm. when we hold ourselves to those too high of standards, it actually ends up creating the exact thing that we don't want, right? Which is mm-hmm. higher levels of pressure and stress and all of that. When really what the goal of all of this is to allow ourselves to live in greater opportunity for ease, joys, and connection with both ourselves and with others.
Absolutely. So Rex, if you don't mind, you know, there's been some really great concepts we've had about like what individuals and leaders can do. I'm a big believer in learning from the younger generation. Like I think in a weird way, they teach us things that we all knew we needed to know. They're just like saying it really loud for us. What are some of the things just like very high level that you have learned from Gen Z about this concept of self-connection or authenticity? Like some of those lessons you can share with us, because I know that you are very good about keeping a pulse on this younger generation and kind of the mindsets that they have. So what can you share with us about how Gen Z is kind of doing this and leading the way in some cases?
I think one of the things that I find most amazing about Gen Z is their willingness to really figure out what works for them in, on an individual level and celebrate the individuality of others. Mm-hmm. One of the ways that we're seeing that, you know, from a perspective of folks who are trans and gender expansive, for example, is the amount of language that we're seeing developed where folks are finding either identities or are identity related terms that are going to reflect who they are on an individual level. And so mm-hmm. part of that is, for example, creating new language. Now, obviously, with regard to language, we've always created new language. Every generation has. And language is always going to reflect the people in the culture of the society of that time. And I think that Gen Z is doing that in a really phenomenal way, whether it is coming up with identity terms that feel really congruent with them, being able to develop pronouns that feel inclusive and authentic to them on an individual level, et cetera. But as well, we also see that reflected in how people are expressing themselves with regard to gender and not going like, oh, I'll just go to the men's section and get this. I'll go to the women's section and get that. But going, want to know what? I love that from the men's section. I love this from the women's section. And I'm going to create something that's all my own. And mm-hmm. so I think all of those things go back to reflecting Gen Z's absolute ability to be able to just find what is going to work for them on an individual level and to celebrate that individuality.
I think that, and yeah, I see it a little bit differently because I do so much like a time with students, but like what I love is that, yes, that individuality, but also the recognition of the individual is a part of a collective. So like they're still a part of an us, like as a group of humans, whether that's like a student organization or a class or a community group that they're a part of, that like they want that individual to feel included and not like an individualism of like everything's about me and I'm special, right? It's that person has figured out who they are. And what I love is that Gen Z rallies around those people, like regardless, like the individuals take care of one another and in their community, whatever their community is. And they allow that person to be that individual while supporting whatever that individual is, identifies as, expresses as. And so like, that's something that I love is, yes, there's that like, I don't know how they're so individually aware at such a young age. Like, I'm very proud of them. I still think I'm trying to figure it out. But then the this idea of being individually expressive and supportive of other people in a way that's like, I'm not going to try to change you. I just want you to be a part of us. And I think that's really beautiful.
Yeah. I think it goes to this idea of them saying, the more that I get to celebrate me, the more room there is for me to celebrate you too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like they're not taking away anything from anyone by allowing someone that's different than them or the same to celebrate that. Like they're like, there's enough room and enough space for everyone to be themselves.
Exactly.
I love that. They're so good. Well, Rex, this has been so helpful. Like, I don't know what I knew that this was going to be insightful, but like, I feel like in some cases, like more joy in my life, which I think is great. Right. But I've just taken so much from this. And I think people that are listening are going to be able to take away just really, I wouldn't say it's always simple. I don't think that it's not necessarily difficult in the same degree, but like you've given people some really direct, simple things they can do to potentially find self-connection themselves a little bit more, practice it within the people that they lead and the organizations that they lead. But I'm sure people want to follow up and potentially know where they can kind of keep up with you. If people want to keep up with the great work that you're doing or find ways to work with you, what would you suggest people do to kind of hang out with you?
Yeah, you can either find me on my website or on LinkedIn. So my website is RexWild, RexWilde.com, or you can just go ahead and find me, Rex Wild, on LinkedIn.
And I will include both of those in the show notes so people don't have to search too hard. But Rex, thank you again for being here. Again, it's always, I always love when we're able to catch up, but I also love being able to intentionally learn from you and your willingness to share all of this with the listeners. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Megan. It's been such a fun time.
Another thank you to Rex for sharing such important insights about an identity, inclusion, and finding self-connection at work. I think everyone can relate to feeling pulled away from something that's an important part of who they are or feeling that they aren't being true to themselves, whether it's related to gender or another identity or just something that's incredibly important to us. Feeling disconnected from who we are is difficult and exhausting.
However, there's ways that we as individuals can find connection to ourselves and help others do so as well, especially if we're in positions of leadership or impact for others. And Gen Zers are great teachers and role models of how to do this. So there's much we can learn from this younger generation about finding connection to who we are and expressing that with confidence and joy. There are some more great episodes and guests coming up in season 6, and I promise you won't want to miss it. If you haven't yet, hit subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you can get notified when new episodes become available. And while you're at it, share this episode with a friend or a colleague. Sharing is caring when it comes to knowledge like this. And I'm always looking for new topics to explore and guests to chat with. You can share your suggestions and thoughts through my website, meganmgrace.com. That's MEGHANMGRACE.com. And you can also find me on Instagram, Threads, and LinkedIn at Megan M. Grace. And a big thank you to my friend Leah Kramer for editing this episode and bringing it all together. And one more thank you for you. Thanks for stopping by for this episode and this season so far. Let's continue the conversation and we'll chat soon.